Welcome to MR Explorer. I am your host, Z Johnson. And today we're going to start with a listener question from the last episode. This question came in and it was really a two-part question. So I'm going to address both pieces. First, what is the difference between a survey and a poll? Which is a fantastic question because they tend to be used interchangeably, but they really, in the market research world, are two different things. A poll is a very, very short survey, basically. It's two or three questions. It's not very long, generally associated mostly with political research, political polling. It tends to try its best to be nationally representative when done correctly. And polls are just very, very short. Surveys are not necessarily short, which is part of our problem with surveys. But they are longer than two or three questions. Surveys are generally a bit longer. They are about different topics, not necessarily just politics. Usually it's about something related to trying to understand customer behavior to some degree. Although not necessarily, there are medical surveys, there are health surveys, etc., which I am distinguishing those both differently. Medical being about your experience in a medical industry, health being about your actual health. So polls, very short, 2 to 3 questions, surveys, longer. That's really the difference between the two. Now, the second part to this question was, how does an increase in gender fluidity affect market research? I love this question because I think it goes to me, the core of what market research is about, which is market research should be the partner with the people who are creating advertising, doing the actual marketing to help inform the decisions that we're making. And our research then needs to reflect the market to whom we are marketing, to whom we are advertising. And I have noticed, and I know this is something that other people have seen before as well, you go back in time, and it doesn't even need to be that far back, and you take a look at the advertisements that are being created, and those ads are fairly, at least in the United States, they're fairly male-specific, targeted to a male audience with very specific gender stereotypes. And by that definition, by them being more targeted to a male audience, you end up with advertisements that are really only speaking to 50% of the population as a whole. In order for us to avoid making mistakes like that, we need to be doing market research that is truly representative of our population. As researchers, it is our responsibility to be on top of what changes are taking place in the market so that we can be better partners with the people who are needing to talk to that market with their marketing messages and their value propositions and their promotions and their advertisements so that we avoid helping people make bad business decisions and end up marketing only to a particular segment of the population when they intend to be marketing to a broader population. There are going to be times where, and there are definitely products that are targeted to a subset of a population, but in cases where they want to be talking to the entire population, we need to be the ones who are delivering them the information about how things are changing in the market so that we are helping to create inclusive marketing experiences. So that's why an increase in gender fluidity affects market research, because we need to be aware of it. We need to be telling our clients and our stakeholders about it and keeping them aware of it and keeping tabs on how much it is increasing so that we can stay ahead of it in a sense, so that we can be sure that we are supporting the endeavors of creating inclusive marketing materials. That is the end of our listener question portion. And now we'll go into talking more about going back to the basics of market research. I have been on this shtick a little bit about doing inclusive market research. And by that, making sure that when we intend to learn about the general population, the questions we are asking, the way in which we are asking them is not excluding pieces of the population, either by accident or even on purpose. So when we need to have a representative population, we need to be sure that our questions are appealing and are answerable by general population. To do that, let's go back to the basics of market research. And let's take a look at, let's review what market research is and the basics around how we go about doing good market research. Let's talk about what market research is and what market research is meant to do. Research implies there's a question about market research implies there's a question about the market. A market is a group of people. When I talk about general population, I mean the population at large. When I talk about subsets of a population, I'm talking about particular subgroups within a population. Those subgroups could be separated by gender, by purchase behavior, by ethnicity, by not just purchase behavior, but age. There are different ways that we can segment the population into subgroups and do research about those groups to try to understand more about them and what their purchase behaviors are like so that marketing can be delivered that targets those pieces of the population. That, again, goes back to implying that there is a question to be answered. That question might be as broad as, what is it that is currently top of mind for teenagers today? What is it that they are concerned about? What is it that they are interested in? What social media platforms are they using? And are those social media platforms being different than the social media platforms that are being used by those who are in college? And are those different than the platforms that are being used by people who are working age? And are those platforms different than the ones being used by people who are retired? So considering the research implies a question, that actually means that as market researchers, as the people conducting market research, we need to ask ourselves if we are conducting research in which we are actually aware of the question. Are we aware of what the actual question is for which research is being conducted? Or are we in a position where we're just conducting research because it's always been conducted? For example, this goes to the land of trackers. And a tracker is a particular study that is conducted on a frequent basis and tries to look at trend over time. This is something that has come up more recently, probably in the past couple of years, actually, because there is this sense that trackers are about to go out the door because where we were trying to measure people's behavior as an after effect, in essence, people go, they do something, and then we ask them to tell us about what they just did. We have better tools in place in which we can actually measure in the moment exactly what that person is doing, because we all tend to forget. We tend to overestimate, underestimate how much we have spent, what we did, how long ago we spent that money, what our behavior was, what our emotions were, what our attitudes were. And so the idea that trackers might be going away has been circulating for quite some time as a result of that. However, there are times where people take over trackers and they might not be aware of what the original question was that the tracker was supposed to answer. And over time, as products evolve and mature and programs evolve and mature, sometimes those questions change but are not necessarily communicated clearly to the people who are doing the research. And this goes back both ways. This is not only the stakeholder needing to inform the market research team about the change in question. It's also the market research team needing to come in and, let's say you're a new person working on a tracker, asking, who are the stakeholders and what is this study supposed to be measuring? What have we been measuring over time? How is the information being used to make business decisions? What business decisions are being made? Is the information that is being collected still answering the questions that exist today? Those can be tough questions to ask. Those can be tough questions to hear the answer to, because sometimes the answer is, you know what? The data isn't being used because we have just been doing this trend thing. Our needs have changed from a stakeholder perspective, and we had not communicated that change. And now we need to actually pivot this, change it so that we're actually answering a business question. There was a time where I encountered this myself in the past year, and that was a website satisfaction survey. Everyone loves to do satisfaction surveys because we all want to know if the thing that we have created is something that people like. However, I had taken a kind of a consulting type of class. It was how to understand the business question class, workshop that I had attended. And the idea behind it was to help create skills to give you the tools to go back to stakeholders and ask these questions. What is it that we are trying to answer with this study? And when I went back to my stakeholder, when I looked at the website satisfaction survey, it occurred to me the question was not whether or not people liked the website. The question was whether or not their experience on that website actually increased the chances that the visitor was going to purchase something as a result of their visit to the website. That is quite different from whether or not the person liked the website. There are many websites that I enjoy. They don't necessarily mean that I am more likely after I visit to take action on that website. So I went back to the stakeholder and I said, you know what? I know that we have had this survey out for a few weeks. I know I helped you write it. I know I helped you come up with the questions for it. But can we take a step back? Let's ask and let's answer, what is the actual thing that you want visitors to this website to do? What is it that you are actually being held responsible for as a result of owning this website? And that's when the answer came up. Well, I need to know whether or not they are more likely to purchase a product from us. And I said, great, then satisfaction scores are not what we need. We need a likelihood to purchase score, a likelihood to make a purchase. And so we were able to change it. Thankfully, the stakeholder was open to that, which I think when you have that conversation with stakeholders, I really can't imagine a time where a stakeholder or a client is going to come back and say, you know what? I don't care. I want to have data that is still not answering my question. It just doesn't seem like something that that would happen. If you were to come back and you were to say, hey, you know what? I just want to check in and make sure that the information that we're capturing is actually information that you need to answer your business question. Thankfully, this was a case where it was an ongoing study. It was always on, and we were able to change it and not lose a lot of value from it. But I think even in cases where that conversation might be more difficult because the study has been in field for a while, the conversation still needs to happen because, again, our job as market researchers is to know the business question that needs to be answered, frame the problem correctly so that we are collecting the information that is actually needed to make the business decision that is on the table. That right there, that is the very beginning of doing good market research, is understanding the question to be answered. Another example that I ran into recently was helping a client with a bunch of event surveys. There are many events that take place and people like to do surveys after the event. However, just like that survey about the website, I found myself needing to push back and say, what is it that you actually need people who attend the event to do? Like, you don't put on an event just to try to make people like the event. There might be times where you do that. There might be times where you want people to just enjoy themselves, but I imagine that even musicians putting on concerts, they don't want you to just come and enjoy the concert. They want you to start following them on social media. They want you to start buying their music more often. They want you to come again to another concert because you enjoyed the experience before so much. So if you just ask them, did you like the concert? That's just going to give you a tiny bit of information. It's not going to give you whether or not the action that you wanted the customer to make is actually going to happen. So in the case of these event surveys, questions were being asked, like, did you really like the opening keynote? Great. That's a fantastic question to ask if all you care about is that the keynote speaker was a good speaker. And that is a very valid thing to want to ask, because perhaps you want to go back to the speaker and that speaker is interested in their speaking ability. But is that the purpose for people to come and listen, is just for them to hear a good speaker? Or are you asking for them to get something more out of it? Is there something that the speaker is trying to convey, a message that you want your audience to hear, that you want to know whether or not they heard the message and whether or not they're going to act on the message? In that case, the question is not, was the speaker good? Did you like the speaker? How satisfied were you with the speaker? The question is, how likely are you to make a change? How likely are you to take action based on the information that you heard from this speaker? Sales trainings, those very well should be asking, do you feel more equipped to sell better this year or this period? Do you feel like you understand where our company is going in the future so that you can answer the questions that your customers come to you with? A training for employees of any sort should be, do you understand what the information was that was presented? Was it clear? Let's say it's some type of training on the company mission. Does that mission statement make sense to you? Is it something that you can get behind? Is this something that you feel passionate about? Is this mission something that resonates with you? Those are much better questions than just, was this training a good training? Because that can mean that it was entertaining. It can mean that it was short, and so it didn't take much time out of my day to get through it. But neither of those necessarily have anything to do with, I am going to make a change, or I have better information to help me with my job as a result of having had this training. So again, the very first step in market research should always be understanding the business need, the business question, the problem statement. That is the very beginning of the basics of market research and what is necessary for us to do good market research. The last thing that I want to mention is an experience where someone wanted to do a survey on puzzle rooms. And I'm going to bring this up because it shows how someone might think that they know the business question, but it turns out the business question they actually want to have answered is different than the business question that your client might come to you with. Because there's a difference between someone saying that they have a business question and you just saying, okay, sounds good, running off and doing the research, comes back. And even though you think that the research that you did was spot on to answer the question that was presented, it turns out the question that was needed was different. So here's the scenario. Someone comes in, they wanted to create this puzzle room experience. And if you're not familiar with puzzle rooms, they're kind of like escape rooms, if you're more familiar with those. But you go in with a group of people, you try to solve a bunch of puzzles so that you can get out of the room in a certain amount of time. And the thing that this person wanted originally, I want to know whether or not the people who would be coming to these puzzle rooms like the themes of the puzzle rooms. I want to know if the idea that we have is pretty good. And so it sounded like a concept test. They had this business idea in mind of how to get people to come back, so it wasn't just a one-time experience. And so it sounded to me like this wasn't firmly in place. And the business question seemed to be, test out the idea, see if the idea that we have for bringing people back, having repeat visitors, would actually work. Turns out, the idea was already set. The idea was not what needed to be tested. What needed to be tested was whether or not some of the incentive plans to bring people back would actually bring people back. So can you see the difference between those two? One is a concept that is to be tested. which is, let's say, a product that is, that sounds like it's being developed, it's not fully developed yet, and you want to go and test this product out with a particular audience. Instead of the product has already been developed, and what you need to know is exactly who is going to be purchasing that product. In this case, it was ideas were already in place on how to bring people back. That's what needed to be tested, was whether or not the incentives that were being provided were enough to bring people back. That was a case where it actually took a conversation, about an hour-long conversation, of talking through the potential research and then hearing and understanding that no, the business plan was already set in stone. What needed to be tested was actually whether or not things like coupons or discounts or punch cards, which of those was actually going to work in order to complement the strategy that had been decided on. It's not just enough to hear the business question. You also need to understand if the business question that is being presented to you is the correct business question, or if it is a business question, if it's the business question that they need to have answered. It could be like someone who is asking, I just need to know if bees bite. And you step back and you say, wait a minute, I think we might already know the answer to that question. What is it that you're actually needing to find out? We already know bees don't bite. So what is it that you're trying to understand? And it turns out that perhaps the question that is actually being asked is, I need to know if bumblebees sting, a specific type of bee, a specific type of thing that happened, rather than I need to know if bees bite. Again, make sure that not only do you know the business question, make sure that the business question that you are getting from your client is the business question that needs to be researched. And if not, take the time up front with your client. If you are on the client side, take the time with your stakeholders to understand whether or not the question that has been presented to you is actually the question that is related to the business decision that needs to be made. So with that, let me give a couple tips on, and I think I've given a couple of tips on how to do that. In addition to asking, so what is it that we're actually trying to achieve here? You can ask things like, what is it that you want your customers to do? What is it that you want your attendees to get out of this? What is it? Why is it that you are doing whatever you are doing in the first place? That can help you get a lot closer to what needs to be researched. For example, for the case where about the puzzle room, instead of just listening to what the client wanted as a study, I needed to ask a little bit more about what is it that your business strategy is, when are you planning on opening, who have you already talked to, and what is it that you are actually looking for people to do when they come visit. For the website, it was not just, do you want people to have a good experience? It was, what is it that you want people to do as a result of coming to this website? Same thing with the events. What is it that you want people to do as a result of this event? For employees, it could be very well the same thing. What do you want employees to do as a result of whatever the program is that is being implemented? Those are business decisions. Those are things that are actually going to be acted upon based on the data that is delivered. So ask, what is it that the people who are being marketed to, the people who are attending your event, the people who are the end user, what is the action that you are intending to impact as a result of whatever program, product, thing it is that you are doing with them? Also, I think another great question to ask when you are talking to a stakeholder or a business or a client for market research is, especially when it comes to trend, what is it that you specifically are being held responsible for? this is something that I have found really valuable in terms of understanding more about what that person's role is, what that person's information needs are in order to help them best in their role. I was working with a particular client group who didn't need, again, satisfaction information. They needed more information around what a particular portion of the audience actually needed as learning experiences for them to better understand the product that they were going to be buying or that they had already purchased to help them engage with that product better. That was not a satisfaction question. That was a very different set of questions. And the people were responsible for increasing the number of visitors, the number of people who took those learning experiences, who participated in the learning experiences, which again, if I had just heard, we need to know what learning experiences people want, I still would not have had the correct question, which really was, how can we increase the number of people participating in the learning experiences we've already created? They didn't need to create new stuff. They wanted to know how to get more people to engage and participate in the things that had already been created. Different question. Both valid business questions. One will actually lead to the research that will be used and impact the business decisions. That's the episode for today. Basics of market research. Find out what the business question is, and then find out if that's the business question that actually needs to be answered. Next time, I will be talking more about different methodologies in market research that can be applied to do research. From quantitative to qualitative, what is the difference between those two, as well as some of the actual types of research that can be done, and what types of questions do those types of research answer. Thanks for listening. I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter at Zontziry. That's my first name, Thontheri. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Z Johnson, Thontheri Johnson. Either one of those should get you to me. And you can find me at my blog, mrexplorer.com. That is MRX, mrexplorer.com. And that is where you will find links to my Twitter account, to my LinkedIn account, so that you can get hold of me. I would love to hear what you would like to hear in future episodes and what your thoughts are on this episode. Talk to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.